2007-1125, paper versus Google. Mr. Green, good morning to you. Welcome to the court.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
May it please the court. This is an appeal from a grand summary of the two infringement issues before us are, one, whether two of Google's products contain data references, and two, whether one of those two products contains common address formats among two of its components. Each issue received an overview, and Google does not see the purpose of the court vacating the claim construction. I'll read from the record to demonstrate the most stark example of the error below. From page 20 of Judge Shabazz's opinion, which is at page 20. Quote, the tokens of defendant's autolink are akin to a patient identification number in the patent's preferred embodiments. However, a patient identification number would never, use a Shabazz, would never be used as a data reference in patent claims because it is far too broad. Now, Your Honor, I'll direct you to the intrinsic record, column 22 of the 298 patent, starting at line 13. Quote, other DRs may include, and it begins, a patient's identification number. That is from A1952. Well, the court below was right to conclude that autolink tokens and the patent's patient identification numbers are alike, but this leads to the opposite conclusion from what the court reached at the rest of page 20.
Mr. Greenstein, I'm bothered by one aspect of the case. Who is that? The judge took the data reference definition.
Yes, sir.
From the Patent 321.
Yes, sir.
Where it was specifically defined. 321 was the CIP of 567. The entire family of patents are issued 889 and 298 for CIPs. 567 was the CIP to 889. Why shouldn't the definition placed in 321 impact the entire family of patents?
Several reasons. First of which is this court has never held, no court in our research has ever held it, but the new matter content, the additional matter of CIP.
But is that really new matter, or is it just a specific definition of data reference, which is included in the entire family of patents?
It was only included in the apex of the very final patent in this patent family. It is not
the definition. The definition is included in 321.
Well, that's disputed between the parties. We don't include it as a definition at all. However, even if it were a definition. Assuming even if it does retroactively affect the interpretation backwards through the chain, that still doesn't justify what the district court did here. And the specific reason is, if you look at that excerpt that we're talking about, the column 8 of the 321 patent, it has what that, quote unquote, this root book. Quote unquote, refer to. In other words, the definition, if you want to call it that, contains the terminology, quote, refer to, unquote. So it doesn't of itself define even what it means by something in one record referring to another record. We have to look at that language in the rest of the intrinsic record. So you do have to go back to the 889 patent, the 298 patent, the 567 patent.
And every one of those patents has a data reference term, which is not defined, but you eventually define it in the 321 patent. Why shouldn't the judge be correct in saying that since you defined it in 321, that relates back to all of the other data reference languages included in the family of patents?
Because accepting it at face value as a definition that can relate back, it doesn't give you the final result of the district judge. Refer to is two-word term within so-called definition. And that itself has to be interpreted. When you go through and you look at how the inventor used that terminology in its very broad examples throughout the intrinsic record, you come to the conclusion that all of the negative limitations imputed into that definition by the district court simply are not supported by the examples throughout the prosecution or throughout the whole patent family. So what you're left with is it to determine whether something refers to something else in the lexicon of this endeavor. You have to go back and look at column 8 of the 889 patent, column 16 of the 889 refers to something else by virtue of the fact that it's a text string extracted from a document and used in the process of forming a link to another record. So, I guess the judge, to answer the question, even if the word definition, even if it had full dignity and related all the way back, it doesn't lead to the result of my infringement. It doesn't allow the addition of all the negative limitations imposed by the district court. So, for example, other examples of legion. On page 19 of the district court's opinion, the court held that the data reference term cannot cover Google's products because Google requires a quote-unquote subsequent process to isolate the reference record. But as we demonstrated in the briefs, the patents show this technique. They show it at the 89 patent column 8. They show it at the 298 patent column 29. Moving on to the court, page 12 found it significant that in AdSense, quote, different advertisements will be displayed on a web page even though the content of that page does not change. But as we showed in the reply brief at the very least, in the 567 patent and columns 35 and 36, the patent advisors do that exact same thing, and they're still called DRs or data references, which means that time-varying reference records should not be infringement, because those are examples of the inventor himself. He used time-varying reference records, and he still called the text that was used from the initial record a DR or a data reference. A data reference, then, is a much broader term than thought by the district court. The district court just didn't credit the very wide use of the terminology throughout the intrinsic record. When a claim concept is described and applied in a variety of ways throughout the intrinsic record, the terminology should get construction that encompasses all of those uses. We set a number of cases in
the page. Could you point out the most important aspects of these several patents, which include the broad definition of data reference?
Gladly. There's an example in the 889 patent, figure 14C. On the bottom of the figure, you'll see that there's a piece of text, a string.
14E as well?
14C blended in 14E. So 14C on the bottom is the raw document.
How about the text?
It's the text capitalization of the voice on the bottom of that figure.
I'm just talking about the text and specification.
In the specification?
Where are the strongest disclosures supporting their argument?
That would be column 16, if I'm not mistaken, of the 889 patent, where there's an actual section of the 889 patent, believe it or not, is titled with a head, quote, parsing to locate data references. So if I'm following this course precedence and I'm trying to ascertain what does the objective evidence show that the inventor meant by terminology, data references, I'm immediately drawn to this section of the 89 patent because that's in the heading. And looking down, there's no out-and-out definition where he says the data references, quote, unquote. But you see how the inventor has used the terminology or how the inventor has used the concept of data reference. And what's described is the initial record is parsed. Some special text string is extracted, temporarily stored, and used in the process of creating a link to another record.
You're not referring to column 12.
In the 89 patent, it's column 16. And in the 89 patent, there's another section which goes to the question of whether subsequent processing should be to exclude the Google products. On the very bottom of column 8 of the 889 patent, quote, for some types of data records, the URL cipher 140 will generate addresses compatible with database formatting standards such as SQL or Oracle. And in the context of this entire record, what that means is that an SQL address or an Oracle compatible address is still considered to be an address form for data references. And a person who's still in the art would certainly be aware that an SQL or Oracle address will then be subsequently processed and proceed.
What's in the 298 patent?
Yes, Your Honor. In the 298 patent, column 29, just before the claims begin, contains a section which describes the breadth that the inventor intended, the objective evidence shows the inventor intended by the terminology in
paragraph is for the claim that attempts to be broadened. In effect, there's an admission that I should have had something earlier.
Well,
that's his wrong statement.
It's different from that. This court is always holds in letters to, I see it in my rebuttal, but I'd like to finish this discussion. This court always holds in letters feet to the fire when they say the invention is this, the invention is that, a narrow interpretation. Here's an example where, with great technological detail, the applicant is saying that the invention, quote, may also be used in the case of a proxy server, that what Google uses, which routes a direct command to requests among network devices. So if there's parity, if you hold it against the patentee when the invention is described narrowly, certainly when there's a technological example, you should hold it in favor of the patentee when the patentee is described broadly.
But would the reference still be to a single reference point or to a specific record or record segment?
The single record concept was important as a negative limitation by the district court. The answer is no. In the intrinsic record, the figure 14C, figure 14E example I was pointing your honors to shows one data reference used to formulate two completely separate, completely different records.
So would that still sequence over to multiple data records?
I apologize.
Would that sequence over to multiple data records or just one single data record?
If I understand the question, the 567 patent at columns 35 to 36 shows an example of time varying records. So, in other words, that is the characteristic where the exact records retrieved by a data reference might be only one at a time, but it changes the sequences over time. And that was contemplated and called the DR, called the data reference.
Well, using file. ISBN number being the data point, right?
The ISBN number would be the data reference, yes, Your Honor.
Now, when that essentially returns back to the server, the identification within that server, would that be only to that IBM record or to another record that is queried?
The exact process is described in our briefs. And the ISBN information goes to the Google TV proxy server. The Google TV proxy server extracts that out of where it has to, and then creates what's called a redirect URL out of the ISBN number's content. There's a template that helps you do that. And then that redirect URL is served from TV proxy back to the user's computer, the algorithm client, whereupon the user's computer will redirect the web page off to, for example, Amazon. Thank you. Mr. Sherman.
Welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court. Let me begin with Judge Garrett's question about the revised definition of the 3.1 patent should not apply here, as it should. There are a couple of reasons for that. Number one is that it is a definition in a related patent. Hyperphrase tried to distinguish the situation by relying on the Goldberg case, and I gather now they came out on that argument because Goldberg, of course, has nothing to do with these facts.
Are you referring to column 8, lines 30 to 39 as the text that you say contains the authoritative definition of data reference? That's what the judge quotes at
yes.
17 of
yes.
his opinion.
Yes.
But in that paragraph, for example, look at the second sentence. It says, quote, in the context of a medical facility, an exemplary DR may be as simple as, quote, medication given, end quote, ECG report, also in quotes, or admission NMR heartbeats, end quote. Now, for example, when it says medication given, if I go to the hospital and I'm there 5 days and each day I'm given a different medication, there would be five medication given records in my case, one for each day. So if the data reference is the phrase medication given, it wouldn't refer to only one report, it would refer to five reports. So I'm not sure how this paragraph supports the judge when he construed the data reference to mean that it refers to only a single record. It could never refer to multiple records, like my five medication reports. What's your response to that?
A couple of points, Your Honor. First of all, if you actually look at the court's claim construction, the construction itself isn't limited to a one-to-one correspondence from one data record to a single reference record. The court, and what you're reviewing is that claim construction and not the opinion. Now, I acknowledge that in the opinion, the judge said that I understand some of these claims to actually require a single specific record. And this is a respect in which there is some variation among the claims, Your Honor, and I submit that if you look at, for example, claims 1 and 91 of the 321 patent, we think those claims are limited to a single specific record. Other claims that use the data reference language probably are not. So we're not taking the position that every claim that uses the data reference language or equivalent language requires this one-to-one correspondence. But the additional response, which I think is the most important, is it doesn't matter. Because whether you say it refers to one record or to a handful of records, the point is it has to refer to a record, at least a record. And what the district court found on these facts, and it was disputed on these facts, is that Google's products don't refer to any record. So whether you say it's one, the claim structure requires one or a few, really is the same.
Are you suggesting that the data reference, the phrase being construed, has to directly identify the record sought, the EKG, or whatever the medical record would be in the hospital context?
No, directly, no. This whole issue of a proxy server really is, again, beside the point. No one is saying that you have to have a direct, immediate link between a phrase in the first record and a specific record it's referring to. It can go through a proxy server, it can go through any number of mechanisms. The important point is, though, these patents are about a system that imposes an order and a structure on disparate databases. The system has to know that the reference over here in the first record is, in fact, a reference to another record someplace else. And the system has to be able to then knowing that that's the reference, the system can find that record.
Were you saying that the system needs to know that the second record, the medication record for the patient, for example, actually exists?
Yes.
So then how I don't understand how the system would know that.
Well,
how does the system know whether there is a medication record or several medication records for a given patient?
Well, the system knows the type of record that exists. So when it sees, for example, catheterization report, that phrase in a document, it looks at that and recognizes that phrase. How does it recognize it? Because it doesn't know.
But it recognizes that there are such reports for some patients, but for a given patient, it doesn't know that there is a relevant report in that category.
Well, that's right. And when it goes to look for a catheterization report for a particular patient who doesn't have one,
it'll come up with nothing.
Correct. But it knows exactly where to look. See, that's the whole point of this invention. It knows where catheterization reports are stored. It knows the format of the addresses of where those reports are supposed to be. And so it knows where to look for that sort of second record. Maybe there isn't one. That's true. Maybe there's more than one. That would be true, too.
Well, where then is the between you and the other side as to claim construction?
Well,
they say that the system doesn't need to know other types of reports such as the catheterization.
Exactly. In fact, that's the way the Google systems work, because both when you look at AutoLink and you look at AdSense, particularly AutoLink's the best example, the system submits queries. The browser computer, a query is constructed, which is a question or a command to a Google server.
Google server modifies that into another query, which is ultimately sent back to some third-party site. Now, obviously, we're hoping there's some relevant information there that gets returned, but ultimately, we don't know. And there's no dispute those are query strings. They are structured in a way to try to find information, but no one really knows exactly what's there or whether it's there. They say that's good enough, that data reference merely is a word or phrase in one document that gets used in the process of looking for related information. So it effectively, in our view, effectively reads the data reference.
What's the distinction between references that ask questions or give commands on the one hand, which you say are not covered, and references that describe a particular type of report, like a catheterization report?
Yes, because we think both the plain meaning, actually, of data reference, and certainly the meaning that is used in these patents, is the reference means it has to refer to something that you know at least by category what it is. It's not the same as saying, well, gee, I recognize this word catheterization report. Let's go see if we can find something that is related to, in some sense, that is related to that phrase. That's a very different thing. And it's really...
The patent that refers to, I guess it's SRQ queries.
Yes.
That seems to be within the scope of the protected invention. And yet there's a little tension between saying that and you're saying, well, queries are outside the scope of the patent.
But different things. And with all due respect, I think that this argument doesn't do hyperphrase much good without delving into what a SQL query is, as well as SQL. That's just a way of getting a piece of data out of a database. That you, first of all, you know what it is, you know where it is, you know how it's stored.
So then there's a difference between that sort of query and the kind of query that your systems do.
Yes, yes.
You have to distinguish between two different types of queries. It's not that all queries are outside the patent. It just depends on what type of query.
Well, yes, and more to the point, whether you're querying your own, at least your own database that you control, that you know has these records. I mean, remember, in Google's case, whether you're talking about auto-link or you're talking about AdSense, the ultimate databases to which Hyperphrase points, they're not Google databases. We don't store that information. We don't know how it's stored.
So then you're saying that for the patented inventions of these four asserted patents, in every case, the data reference has to refer to some source of records that's controlled by, owned by, on the premises of the institution running the system, such as a hospital.
Colloquially speaking, yes. I mean, the physical location doesn't matter, of course, the database could be anywhere in the world. But
the control. That's
control.
Controlled by the entity that's running the system.
Absolutely.
Whereas you say, we at Google don't control these databases at all. They're UPS or Amazon or something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How's that query made then?
How's the query made?
To the Amazon link.
Right. So in the case of, we'll just take AutoLink as an example, when a word phrase gets recognized in the document and a URL gets instructed at that point that uses part of that word and a bunch of other stuff that Google fills in, that query will get sent from a user's computer. This is the processing device, they say, or the claim. It's sent from the user computer off to a separate Google server. The Google server gets that query and strips out some of the information and creates another query, which is different. Okay? They're not the same thing. That matters to the common address format claims. Then it comes back to the user's browser. And it's a redirect. So then the browser takes that and basically is using it. Takes that and sends it back out to the third party at Amazon. The Amazon, in your example, the Amazon server takes that query, strips out some of the information, and actually does whatever Amazon wants to do with it. Now, we think, Google thinks, we have a pretty good idea of some of the things they do with it, and that's why we direct people to go look there, and they can get some earlier info. But ultimately, what Amazon returns, what page they return, we don't know.
How they store their data, we don't know. In fact, their expert admits that no one on this record really knows how that data is maintained.
Well, that determination is made by Amazon.
Correct. Correct. It's made by Amazon.
Based on the query that we know.
That's right. That's right. And that's really the way all these distributed databases on the web, it's the way they're all done today. They're all done in real time as a result of queries because no one controls even most of the pieces of the system, not even Google.
So
it's necessary.
Why isn't the automate then the same as their data reference point making the query as to what is available within that data base?
Well, because they are querying in the sense, it's a different thing. They aren't querying in the sense of, gee, do we have any information that's even related to this keyword? They know, right? The whole point of these patents is that there is an order and a structure imposed by the system administrator, by the person who sets up the database. So they know in the case of a particular keyword that there are records of that sort in the system. And not only do we know that there are records of that sort, we know exactly where they're stored and how they're stored. So, you may still, as a matter of database, as a matter of convenience, you may address those in various ways. You may address them through a proxy server. You may address them using a query. But the point is, they exist, they pre-exist, the system knows they're there, and there's correspondence, direct correspondence between the reference over here and the ultimate record over here on a gesture to the other, where the database would be. I touched a little bit on address format. It didn't really come up in Hyperphrase's remarks, so I won't go into that in detail unless the court has questions on that particular issue. I want to make just one observation on that, to go back and look at it, that even if you accept the fact that these various URLs are somehow address formats, the address format claims require that you look at the first URL and compare it to the whatever URL there is that actually addresses the database at the end of the process. So it's the beginning and the end that's required by the claims, because the claims say the processing device has to create that first address format. And Hyperphrase says the processing device in our system is the browser computer. The browser computer only creates the first URL. It does not create the second. Remember, that's done at the Google server. There's no dispute about that. It does not create the third, and actually, in the case of Google Maps, it does not create the fourth. There's no dispute that if you compare that first URL to the ultimate URL, they're different animals. And in fact, Hyperphrase hasn't even tried to argue that the first one and the last one are common. So that's really the end of the common address format claims. Finally, if I may, on doctrine of equivalence, this didn't come up, but it might not rebut. As I understand Hyperphrase's argument now in their briefs, they are pointing to a few paragraphs of the Thompson Declaration, their expert's declaration. We pointed out the high-level problems with that declaration. They're conclusory. There's no particularized argument or testimony. They're not limitation. But even apart from that, I see my time's up. I just finished the sentence. Even apart from that, I believe you'll find, if you look at those paragraphs, they rely on Hyperphrase's claim construction and not the court's claim construction. So if you agree that the district court's claim construction is correct, the evidence they point to of equivalence is not one.
Thank you.
Yes, you agree.
Thank you, Judge. I just wanted to hit a couple of points and then make myself available for questions. Point number one is Mr. Schrickenbach's reliance on the claim language at the beginning of his remarks, where he said a second record. So therefore, it must be somehow known to the system or under common control of the system. I would just refer your honor to page 12 of our reply brief, where we cite Freemotion Fitness versus Cybex, 2005 Federal Circuit decision, where this court rejected the notion that use of the singular as claim articles necessarily means that the noun can only be one and only one. The second point I'd like to address is Mr. Schrickenbach's comment that all of the patents in this family somehow have pre-knowledge or have a pre-understanding of where the records are, that they exist already, and that somehow through an interpretation of the claim language system that doesn't know exactly if the records exist would be excluded. On starting page 50 of our blue brief, we point out that the parent 461 patent, which is actually an earlier filed patent, in our view, it gives greater dignity for claim interpretation than its earlier filed. The 461 patent flies in the face of this argument because it says at A1403, column 11, starting line 1, that links may be formed in a base document, quote, without even knowing whether those reports were in existence. I mean, I can't think of anything more contrary to the position that Mr. Sherman brought just to.
Well, it depends on whether you're talking about an individual report for patient shells and medication, or whether you're talking about a type of report for all patients, namely medication reports.
I didn't glean the question from that. I'm sorry.
It wasn't a question.
Okay. I'll just conclude with that. I have more comments to say about how to address more that's asked, but thank you very much, Josh.
All right. Thank both counsel. We'll take the appeal under advisement.